From WNYC New York Public Radio, I'm Sarah Fischko, and these are the Fischko Files. Each week I put together a personal essay on music, art, culture, or media. You can hear all of the Fischko Files, plus some of my one-hour documentaries and special programs on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. So please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 1-800-NOW-OPEN or open.com.
Did you know that as more people listen to WNYC on the internet, our bandwidth expenses go up? Please do your part to support WNYC's online services. Click the ePledge button to make your gift now. And thanks.
We're live in 8, 7, 6.
A few weeks ago, on the season premiere of Aaron Sorkin's TV show Studio 60, one of the show's characters went berserk live on the air.
Change the channel. Turn off your TVs. Do it right now. Go ahead.
Doing a kind of insane truth-telling about television and society.
We're all being lobotomized by this country's most influential industry.
The style was frankly inspired by Howard Beale, the crazed anchorman of the film Network, the character created by screenwriter Paddy Chayefsky decades ago.
In a scene reminiscent of Paddy Chayefsky's classic film Network,
he was mad as hell and he wasn't going to take it anymore.
Network, now 30 years old, has come back in a big way this year, as has the memory of the Bronx-born writer who brought it to the screen. Chayefsky's career was meteoric and really very unwriter-like.
What do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
He had come into the public consciousness for the first time with the film Marty, whose two guys in a bar dialogue had quickly entered the language.
I say to you, what do you feel like doing tonight? And you say back to me, I don't know what you feel like doing tonight. Then we wind up sitting around your house with a couple of cans of beer watching a hit parade on television.
The story of a lonely butcher and a timid school teacher who find love. It had originally been a live TV drama with Rod Steiger and Nancy Marchand in 1953, and it became a phenomenon.
It was instantaneous. Overnight, everybody connected with it.
Sean Considine's 1994 biography of Chayefsky, Mad as Hell, has been reprinted this year. He says the dialogue in Marty is what captivated audiences, and actors, too. Nancy Marchand said the words just fell off your tongue. And the program really did explode onto the screen in its own quiet way, that night in 1953.
The next day, the actors were walking on the street, and everybody had seen it or seen Rod Steiger and said, they were yelling out the windows, "Hey, Marty!"
Chayefsky, born Sidney Chayefsky and nicknamed Paddy in the Army, had started out wanting to be a playwright, but he'd gone to Hollywood when one of his magazine stories was bought by a studio. Out there in the late 40s, it was not the best time for writers.
They were the lowest on the totem pole. As Ben Hecht said, they were crossed between a doormat and a groundhog.
And when the studio turned Paddy's script over to one writer after another for revisions, Chayefsky walked out.
He was not happy with that situation. He decided that if he ever went back to Hollywood, he would have total control.
Marty was his chance. It was in his contract that only he could do the rewrites this time. And as far as anyone knew, it was the first such arrangement. The movie starred Ernest Borgnine and Betsy Blair, and it sold out night after night in New York. It was cheered at the Cannes Film Festival, and it won Chayefsky his first screenwriting Oscar. He was already the writer as major star.
You know what my last picture, Stardust Girl, did in New York City opening week?
He ascended even higher with The Goddess in 1958, a movie about the rise of a Hollywood screen idol played by Kim Stanley and inspired by the life of Marilyn Monroe.
What do you think, you little girl, now? Huh?
Made while Monroe was still very much alive.
He says that R.M. Lucas, the vice president in charge of production, saw the rushes and says that my bit is going to steal that picture.
Again, it was the writing that dominated, along with a stunning performance.
All you know is that just ran off on me. I hate you so much, I don't know how to tell you how much I hate you. You just get out of my house, just get out!
Chayefsky had again negotiated it into his contract. Nobody could touch those words. In fact, at that point, the writer of the movie, Chayefsky, was a much bigger star than the actress, Kim Stanley. They even promoted the film using a picture of our hero toiling at his typewriter. Still, with all his success in movies, he wanted to be writing plays. So he wrote Gideon and The Tenth Man and several others. They were produced in New York with mixed success. Less and less success as they went on. He was never taken seriously in the theater.
The New York critics, you know, had savaged his work. So that's where all the fury and the anger come. He never became the playwright he thought he should have been, like an Arthur Miller or a Tennessee Williams. So he decided to turn around and he would take the gifts he had as a playwright and bring them to the screen. And he started that with the hospital.
What are you going to do about those 14 ghetto people, baby?
I am not going to do anything.
We were coming out of 1969, 1970. It was, you know, drug use, the crime, the corruption, everything had escalated. So he used hospital as a microcosm of society in New York. That's what he used, or contemporary society.
It is all rubbish.
By the time of The Hospital, starring George C. Scott, Chayefsky had arrived at a kind of speechifying that really hadn't been heard in movies in just that way.
We have established the most enormous medical entity ever conceived, and people are sicker than ever. We cure nothing! We heal nothing!
The speeches that he had in The Goddess now became arias, practically, in hospital. This suicidal doctor, who was essentially, who was Patty, as was Howard Beale, the mad anchorman in Network. These were Patty Chayefsky.
We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore.
Chayefsky's always been my sole role model as a screenwriter.
Notorious bad boy screenwriter Joe Esterhaus was in town recently promoting his new book, The Devil's Guide to Hollywood, The Screenwriter as God. Esterhaus wrote Basic Instinct and Jagged Edge, among other films. We wound up talking about Patty Chayefsky.
What he did, as opposed to almost all screenwriters, is fight tooth and nail to the wall, clawing, using his elbows, using his knees to preserve his vision.
Why did he have to fight so hard? Because everyone, says Joe Esterhaus, everyone's a writer.
Whether you're talking about the studio executive or the actor or the cab driver, you know, or the gopher or the gaffer or the director, they all think they're writers and they all want to change and rewrite what you've done. It's insanity. The only way to stop that is by fighting, and then that's what Patty did.
After Network, for which he won his third Oscar, there were terrible problems for Chayefsky with a film called Altered States. Suffice it to say, they found new ways to challenge Chayefsky's control, and without that, he was a desperate man.
The control took over. He was controlaholic. That killed him. The rage killed him.
It broke Patty's heart.
Patty Chayefsky died in 1981 at age 58.
His final words were, "I tried," and then I think they are the most heartbreaking words coming from a screenwriter.
We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone.
Unless you count the words from Network, the popular film about a popular medium that went too far for comfort.
Everything he spoke about happened.
I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the...
That Chayefsky speechifying, corny and overdrawn and on the brink of absurdity though it may be, still makes us listen.
My life has value!
Even a little harder now. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now.
Thanks for listening to The Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member today at WNYC.org. See you next week for another installment of Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.